Going to pray for him before he comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these beautiful names of God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we just pray for Link now as he teaches that you would speak through him and that you would lift up your son and we'd see your goodness and your greatness as we gaze at his face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Growing up, I absolutely loved the superhero genre. I sort of still do, I have to confess. One of the most earliest memories I have as a little fella is watching Batman cartoons on Saturday mornings at home. I grew up watching all the old superhero cartoons, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Green Lantern, even Aquaman on Saturday mornings. Back then, there was Wonder Woman as well. There was the Incredible Hulk. There was the Bionic Man, the Bionic Woman. I even loved the old Adam West Batman shows, as corny as they were. If anyone remembers the old Adam West Batman shows, they were, oh my goodness, they were legendary. So corny, so American. There's something about these superheroes and these supercharged, souped-up heroes that got my blood pumping and my imagination flowing. These guys and girls were absolutely amazing, and they were, some of them, nearly invincible. They could fly, climb buildings, outrun trains, deflect bullets. They could even be thrown through walls and manage to fight on. It was the stuff little boys' dreams are made of. Something about the stories on some level connects with the hearts of the children of all ages, right? Something about superhero stories. The world has always loved superheroes and longed for someone to save the day. Why do you think they're so popular? Superheroes were needed because there was always seemed to be supervillains lurking in the shadows with some thought of world domination on their mind or some great and impending tragedy that threatened everyone's existence, right? It took someone bigger and stronger and faster and smarter to save the day. We need superheroes. To me, the story never grows old. I'm 55 and I love watching superheroes on it still. Through the years, I've come to believe that those stories and others like them hold a wonder for us as people because they connect to something. They actually connect to something deep inside of us. We understand as humans there are things in life that are bigger than us, right? We understand that always there's things that are stronger than us, beyond our control, our ability to control, and that actually frightens us. We recognize our own frailties and our own limitations. We can't outrun cars. We can't deflect bullets, or we can't fly. We can't push back hurricanes or freeze tidal waves with our icy breath. We can't wrestle tornadoes to the ground or even hold lightning in our hands. We are powerless to stop wars, violence, injustice, or even bring an end to disease and suffering in our own lives, let alone anyone else. We can't stem the tide of injustice and evil any more than we can drain the ocean with a coffee mug. There is not a person alive that can defeat man's universal enemy, death. Because all of us succumb to that great enemy someday. Whether great or small, whether young or old. Superman, despite his powers, he has his kryptonite. And we have ours. It's called life. I've also come to believe that our stories of heroes reveal something else about humanity. Despite the fact that life and everything that life entails, with all its power and unknowns, it stares us in the face, there remains something that's buried deep inside. There's still a measure of hope somewhere deep down in us. We as human beings have this uncanny ability to create in our minds, in our stories, this larger-than-life person, which is more powerful than we are, someone to come to save the day. Some of you may think this is silly, but I believe that our ability and our desire to imagine and create these superheroes who, with superhuman, almost supernatural powers, can swoop in and save us has been placed there by God. These stories that, or fantasies maybe, whichever you want to call them, are reflections of this innate, inherent understanding that we have someone and need someone to rescue us, to help us and protect us. Those stories are reflections of this intrinsic desire in us that all of us have for a hero. After all, every good story, every big story, superhero or not, needs a hero. You just have to watch every Hollywood movie ever made. Every good story needs and has written into them a hero, because we know the real drama of life, which can sometimes be stranger than the fiction, is no different. No different. Ever since the beginning, man has found himself in need of a rescuer, a hero to fight on his behalf. This has always been the case. Adam and Eve, who acted as our representatives and did probably what we would have done, brought man's greatest enemies into existence and gave them life. The potential for evil existed in the beginning, but Adam and Eve chose to disobey the one rule, violate the one law that God had given them and brought sin into existence, and it would infect every person who ever is born, man, woman, and child from that point onward. When sin and this rebellion against God, this desire to live life apart from Him, was conceived in the hearts of man, it brings forth suffering and death. The suffering and death that resulted from sin would defeat and destroy everyone. There was none who could stand up to them. No one who could defeat them. The result of evil and wickedness that prevailed on earth was so great. At one point, God destroyed everything, with the exception of 8 people and some pairs of animals, by a great flood. God destroys everything. Man's sin placed them so inescapably underneath the wrath of God. We could not escape. Death was victorious. Every genealogy that you read in Scripture is not only a long series of birth announcements, but also a long list of obituaries. Sin is so pervasive that not only has it polluted the human soul, but it has corrupted all of creation as well. Everything. We are told in Romans that the earth itself groans as if in the pains of childbirth. Think about that. The earth. No man, no matter how hard he tries, could escape sin's power, its penalty, its coming sting, the permanence of death. Man was desperate for a hero, a warrior to fight for them and to provide their freedom. The good news, the great news of Christmas is that a hero was provided. God gave us on that Christmas one who would conquer man's greatest enemies. A warrior was born to us, not a baby, a warrior. God gave us a warrior, but to do that, this child had to become someone very special and had to have great power and authority, and he does, and he did. Isaiah 9:6, that we're focusing on in this series, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Think about that. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus, as we've seen and as we will be seeing, is going to bring to this world what no other person could ever bring. He is the one who will set all the things right and in their place. He's the one who will bring an end to all wars. He's the one who will put an end to injustice in this world and replace injustice with justice. He is the one who will bring an end to the strife that exists between nations and races that we see today. He is the one who will bring end to violence and poverty in our world. He is the one who will stop suffering forever. He is the one who will lead the governed and govern as the great wise counselor. He is the one who will conquer sin and remove death and remove its penalty. He is the one who will defeat death and render it powerless. He is the one who will step onto the battlefield and give victory over all of man's enemies. How can he do this? What makes him qualified to accomplish so great a task? What authority does he possess that others don't? What is so special about Jesus? What great power or powers does he actually possess? Isaiah tells us in this verse that he can do it all because he is mighty God. He can do it all, not because he possesses power, but he is power. He is ultimate power. He is the mighty God, or you could translate it, Almighty God. That title, that name, Mighty God, carries weight and significance. So much weight and significance. In the original language, it is one word. It's a compound word. Like two words joined together to make a special word and a special meaning. The first part of the name is a shortened word from the word Elohim. What does Elohim mean? It means it's the name actually used of God in the original, in the very start of the Bible. The second part of the name that we have when it says Mighty God is the word Gibor, which means the one who is, get this, powerful, strong, and a warrior. We find these words and thoughts together in Deuteronomy 10:17. Listen to this verse. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. This is who we find in the manger at Christmas. Sleeping in the arms of a teenage Jewish girl named Mary. He is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. He is God in flesh. We are told earlier in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," which is translated what? God with us. He is mighty in creation. He created the world. Everything that is made, he made it out of nothing. He spoke everything into existence with just a word. That is true power. In Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth." In John 1:1-3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being." Mighty over creation, mighty in creation, he's mighty over creation. When he speaks, even the oceans and animals and the weather recognize the voice of their maker, their master. And what do? They obey him. They understand. At his command, hungry lions would lie down and sleep in their den, not even lay a paw on his prophet Daniel. At his command, a great fish would swallow a disobedient prophet whole and then spit him out on dry ground a few days later unharmed. Nebuchadnezzar's fires would refuse to consume its three Jewish victims. Oceans would split at his command. Mountains would shake when he spoke. Rocks would give forth water as if they were an artesian well. Water would allow his feet to walk across it as if it were concrete. The winds and the waves would be still and sleep at his command. This child in the manger possesses a power and a pedigree that we cannot fully comprehend. This child didn't come to put on a show and amaze us with his power and ability to manipulate the laws of nature. This child came to rescue us, to save us. He came to be our great hero that we were longing for. He came to fight a battle. He came to be our victorious warrior. All of those terms are ways that Gibor can be translated. Every hero and every warrior has to face the enemy at some point. The battle has to take place. As we look at Jesus' life, we find that he was not only mighty over creation, but also he displayed authority and might over the spiritual forces at work in our world. He had at his commands innumerable hosts of angels. He was the captain of all of heaven's armies. Even the enemy hordes recognized his names and they cowered before him. Demons would tremble at the presence and they would flee from him. His word, they obeyed. They couldn't refuse. He was able to stem the tide of suffering in the lives of others. He straightened crippled hands and withered hands and legs. He gave sight to the blind and he gave hearing back to the deaf. He healed diseases that were incurable and carried a death sentence with them, like leprosy. He even demonstrated power over death. He never accounted a funeral that he couldn't shake up. He brought his friend Lazarus, who had been dead for 3 days, back to life with just the power of a simple command, "Lazarus, come forth." That's all it was. That's all he had to say. All of those he raised would one day die again. It was a temporary victory over death, perhaps a foreshadowing of an even greater victory. He overcame the temptation to sin. The enemy threw everything he could at Jesus during his life and time, and never once did Jesus stumble. Not in word, not in thought, not in deed. While Jesus went 40 days and nights, think about that, 40 days and nights without food or water, the enemy assaulted him, and Jesus did not give in. He did all these things, and he didn't even break a sweat. Horatio Bonner is a famous 19th century author, Christian poet and author. This is what he wrote. "When man proceeds to accomplish mighty enterprise, he puts forth prodigious efforts, as if by the sound of his axes and hammers he would proclaim his own fancy's might and bear down opposing obstacles. He cannot even work without a sweat and dust and noise. When God would do a marvelous work such as amazing things, all the heavens and the earth and creations in silent and majesty and power, noiseless, yet resistless, achieved by a word the infinite wonders of omnipotence." Jesus, the one who was to be called Almighty God, won the battles and he overcomes everything. We all know from watching movies and reading books and listening to stories that every hero faces small battles, but the day finally comes, the grand finale comes, that he has to face and take on the full force of the enemy in this epic showdown. To become our hero, Jesus had to enter the arena and personally face our greatest enemy, the one that brought into existence the evil and suffering that exists, the sin. He had to face sin's penalty. He had to face death, physical and spiritual. Our great warrior God would go into battle on our behalf. He would face the enemy. He would bear God's wrath against sin. He would face suffering and death. He would endure ultimate injustice. No one has ever endured such indignity and injustice. He is the only one who didn't deserve to suffer. He's the only one who didn't deserve to die. To truly understand Christmas, you have to look beyond the cradle and you have to look at the cross. Jesus, our warrior, Jesus, our hero, our mighty God, was born to die. Jesus faced the angry mob. He endured all the physical and emotional abuse they could dish out. He took the beatings so severe that the Bible says he was unrecognizable. He took the floggings of the whip laced with bones and metal that ripped the flesh from his body and exposed bone and organs. He endured the crown of thorns. He carries the cross. He suffers with the spikes being driven through his hands and his feet. Beyond the physical suffering was the great pain and suffering Jesus has. Jesus, because he was infinite, in his being endured in a finite period of time the infinite wrath against the sin of all mankind. Can you imagine that? Jesus, because he was infinite in his being, endured in a finite period of time the infinite wrath of a God against all mankind's sin. He endured the separation and rejection from his Father. Because he was human, he suffered death, he dies. Our great warrior, this child that was born and son was that given to us, he plunged himself in the great ocean of death and it swallowed him up. And it held him there in its grasp and couldn't keep him. Why? Because he is Almighty God before whom none can stand. Jesus, our hero, came into a world of darkness as a bright shining light. He didn't come dressed in blue tights and a red cape, but in a soft, fragile skin of a little baby. He was not faster than a speeding bullet, nor did he leap tall buildings in a single bound, but he built a bridge between us and God. He didn't deflect bullets and destroy them, but he actually destroys the power of sin, right? He didn't come to rescue a damsel in distress, but he came to rescue the whole of mankind from eternity in hell. He is Almighty God. He is mighty in redemption. Let me tell you something very important and practical as an internal implication this truth has for our lives. Only God can save you. Only Jesus can take away your sin. Only Jesus can give you victory over death. No one else will be able to pull you from death's grip. He alone, the Bible says, is mighty to save. It also means that he is greater than anything that you will face in your life. He is God Almighty. He is the one that we can run to when we are weak and hurt and afraid. I read this story about a hunter in America. Rising one morning, he says, I heard the barking of a number of dogs chasing a little deer. Looking at a large open field in front of me, I saw a young baby fawn making its way across the field, giving signs that its race was almost run. It leaped over the rails of the enclosed space and crouched within 10 feet of where I stood. A moment later, two of the hounds came over and the fawn ran into my direction and pushed its head between my legs. I lifted the little baby fawn to my breast and swinging around and around, I fought off the dogs. Just then, I felt as if the dogs would not be able to endure. That all the dogs of the West could not and would not capture this little fawn after its weakness and its appeal to my strength. So it is when human helplessness appeals to the Almighty God. I remember well when the hounds of sin were after my soul, that at last I ran into the arms of the Almighty God, right? You feel that. You understand that. when you're being chased by fear and doubt. You run to the one who is able. When you are weak and you can't bear under the weight of your struggles, you run to the one who is able. When you're hurting and your heart is broken because people have let you down and abandoned you, you run to the one who is able. I don't have to pretend that I have a superhero who will rescue me and save me. I have one. His name is Jesus. He is the wonderful counselor and the mighty God. And he has overcome for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have given us a mighty God. That, Lord, as we look in that manger and we see this little baby, we also see a hero, a rescuer, someone who has come to give us life and to save us. And so we are so thankful, Lord. So thankful that this Christmas message is more about Christmas gifts and Santa Claus. It's about a mighty God who has come to rescue us from our sin, from our despair. And we are so thankful. We want to pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.